Okay, we're discussing in general person being allowed to put himself in danger. We said last week, about 2 weeks ago, we spoke about putting yourself in danger for the sake of saving someone else. And we gave the basic parameters there of if the risk to you is minimal, then you're mechuyev to take a minimal risk to save somebody else from a very big risk. If the risk to you is more than minimal, then you're not mechuyev to put yourself into a more than minimal risk for somebody else. But if you want to, you're allowed to. And if the risk is great, in other words, the chances of saving the other person are very minimal, and the chances that both of you will be killed, then it could be you're not even allowed to put yourself in such a risk. Okay. Now the shaila is, let's read the shaila. It's also from Rav Ashri. B'yom Yud Gimel Elul Tov Shin Beis. Hotzi Hatzar Hatzor Hanatzi Yimach Shemoes Hatzav She'osu LaYehudim Kluya Ghetto. This was in the ghetto of Kovna, that the commander of the ghetto, the Nazi, made a decree that it's all of the the Jews in the ghetto, Levorich es Hashem Makelos, Lesasim Batik Nesios, Batik Medrishos, Bemedrashos, Latorah Letfila. Velizok Lashem Betzar Lohem, Lahapila Fonav Trina, Shiyazu Lohem Vyoshia, Lechalitz Nafshem and Ametzel, if those from Mered Shachas. The decree was that Jews could not gather to pray or to learn Torah. As an Isser Ashmad, can't pray or learn Torah. Klui haget ushvurei halev v'nitkoi haruach ritzutzei haguf u'morei hanefesh achre yom shel avodas kfiya. At that point, what was going on in the ghetto was forced labor, terrible avodas perach. So people worked the whole day at this forced labor. Noagim hoyu linshos esabola bisasul v'miktoshi ma'at. So what did they do after they came home from this terrible work day? So in order to get a little chizuk, they would go and learn Torah at night. Beis HaKnesses uBeis HaMedrash likboa itim laTorah mipi malamdim lahoel b'chevra shas mishnayis l'shmoa divrei tochach u'musar idud v'nochem mipi rabbonim v'darshonim shehin imu midivroseihem v'niku l'shomim mitzufim reinom shel divrei chazal v'nischu l'tocham ruach tikva b'tocham emuna v'yira b'kadosh Yisrael tzura v'goalo shiyokum l'hoshid nokum l'tzorov v'limcho tzorosh ha'pesen ha'natzi al eretz rabah v'rivlos afe Yisrael yisku lirus b'ineim nikmas. They went for two reasons. One is that to get a little ruchnias, to feel that people in that matzah for sure appreciate every moment they have. They never know how much longer they have, and we all should feel like that. But the ma'isa we don't. But then it's more clear to people, and also by going to the shiurim and the drushas or whatever, they got chizuk from the rabbonim that were giving the shiurim. And Rav Ashri says, I was also zocha to be from these people who gave the shiurim. Shimshichu besoch hashras hachoshech va'afelos hatzoras v'harbitz Torah l'am Hashem uveveish midrashi shayim ufursam v'yadu b'shem abi yecheskos klois himshachti lahagid lefnei kahal ve'edo shuri shiurai hakvuim. The Gamachar Kach is Shazedim who are ruling not to Kaba Beis Hamedrash Hazeh. Shach so es Hodo Vasula Beis Soar, Hetakti es Moshavi Vatrocha Voyas Hameis Klois. Ulaveis Haknesses Shubaveis Napinovitz, Shibrachov Vitna, Vatroch Beis Haknesses Shochaim Shafir, Shibrachov Varna. Somach Lebeis Moetz Askenim. In any case, the Nazis took over various shuls, turned them into prisons or stables or whatever. And they moved from one place to another. They didn't stop them, and they just set up shop somewhere else and gave the shurim in a different shul or whatever. Uveyichud is masarti l'shurim ha'yomiyim shalimariti b'chevers tiferes b'churim v'chol ha'mekomos halalu chizakti be'ezra shokhin meromim birkayim koshlos v'rofos haruach shal tzira Yisrael v'amoniyam. L'maisa, these shurim gave people chizuk. And Dumam leezus Hashem lishuaso kitov Hashem lekovav lemiach lechazdo dekarvu lecholkorav ashigruv emes nisholenu lizdayim beemuna vitochon losis all the simcha v'rotzon ki eshtik v'lachriseinu, to give people hope that the bad is also rotzon Hashem, and you have to bless the Rabbanu Shalom for the bad also, and that there's hope that in the end we'll see that the Nazis are vanquished and that many Yidden will survive. Vihine harishonim harurim shelibom ha'atzer chorash achra kol hayom azera am kodesh mayonim lo nelam me'enom lo nelam mekor hakoach va'idun hanovem mekomus hator v'tfila. The Nazis didn't ignore the fact that they saw that Jews were being given chizuk, and they didn't want that from these shiurim and from these davening and being able to daven betzibur. And the Nazis had a psychological war against the Yidden also. It wasn't just physical, but they wanted to take away any hope from them, to make them feel totally abandoned, so they were very much not interested in Yidden getting chizuk. And therefore they prohibited learning Torah and davening in a shul or davening betzibur with the penalty of death. The shoal of sea kedina shel Torah in the khuy of hul stak in the sakonas guf and nefesh lele khis pal but see were bekloy shoy rogel balash kan lari. Somebody came to Esther Shaila, is he allowed to go daven but see were, since it's a shaila pikuach nefesh, if he goes daven he's putting his life in danger. Are you mechuy to put your life in danger for davening? Are you mechuy of hul limsor es nafshu al Torah tfila olo? So he brings various makoros. First of all, one would think on the surface that you're not mechuyev, because there's only three averas that you're chayev to give your life for, and that's gilui arayos, shvichas dam, avodah zara. All other mitzvahs or averas, right, you're not mechuyev to give your life for. Okay. On the other hand, so therefore you're not mechuyev to give your life for tefillah or for limud haTorah. On the other hand, could be over here it was a Shas HaShemad. Right? The Shas HaShemad, when Goyim want the Dafka, the Jews should not keep Yiddishkeit. They make a general decree against Yidden keeping Torah and mitzvahs. So then you have to give your life for everything, even for Minhagim. You have to give your life for everything. So one would think then you have to give your life for Torah and Tefillah in those situations too. And we have sources to that lechora from Rabbi Akiva, that when the Romans prohibited learning Torah, so he would give Torah classes barabbim, and he was asked by Pappas ben Yehuda why he's doing that. He's endangering his life and the life of other people. And Rabbi Akiva gave a mashal with the fish, that if the fish are endangered in the water, kol shekein they'd be more endangered out of the water. So you don't give up teaching Torah, even though it's Shas HaShemad, even though it's punishable by death. So it would seem from there that you have to do that. On the other hand, even a Shas HaShemad, a person only has to give up his life on doing something of the kum v'yaseh. In other words, if the Goyim want you to be over an Aveira, any Aveira, and it's a Shas HaShemad, so then you have to give up your life for every Aveira. But you're not mechuyev to do a mitzvah to give up your life. That's clear from the case Elisha Bal Knafayim. That there was a person who was very medak in the mitzvah of tefillin, and the Romans had made a decree not to put on tefillin. And he did put on tefillin, and when the Roman chased him and asked him what he had in his hands, he said, "I have a dove's wings." And the talk was a nace that had turned into doves. It's the right reason we wrap our tefillin shel rosh, looking like wings on the side, to remember that. So he wasn't mechuyev really to put on the tefillin, and when he was in danger, he wasn't mechuyev to say, put on tefillin and give up his life. He could lie and say that it was something else. So you're not mechuyev to what's it called, to go and do a mitzvah and give up your life. You're mechuyev not to do an aveira, no matter what the aveira is, b'shas hashmad. So could be for that reason, then you don't have to go daven bedavka or go learn bedavka in what's going away that's going to put your life in danger. But you see from Rabbi Akiva, right, that they did, they weren't pesach in their life. So he said it's very possible that what Rabbi Akiva did in the other cases where they were moser nefesh for tefillah was not something they had to do, it was something they did b'chassidus, and they held like the opinion that even in a case where you're allowed to save your life, but if you make a kiddush Hashem, right, then you're allowed to give up your life even though you don't have to, but you can't be mechayev other people to do that. So basically what he comes out with in the end is that if somebody wants to go and daven or learn even though he's endangering his life, he's definitely allowed to do that, because you see that there were others who did that and they were praised for it. But to make somebody bedavka have to do that, since it's possible that you're not mechayev to do it, you can't make somebody chayev. Somebody comes to ask a shayla, you tell them, look, if you want to do it, it could be it's okay. But if you don't want to do it, you want to protect your life, you're allowed not to go daven b'tzibur and not go learn b'tzibur, if that will, what's it called, make your situation more secure. That's basically the tshuva that he gave. There's a, in general, a shayla, I think we'll leave it, but I'll mention it now, but we'll leave it in the end as a separate thing, whether the matzav in Nazi Germany was shas hashmad or not. Because it really, the Goyim didn't say, give up the Torah or we'll kill you. Right? Because even if you didn't give up the Torah, they were going to kill them. They weren't interested in giving up the Torah. Giving up the Torah wasn't for the sake of giving up the Torah. It was to facilitate all the other gzeiros they had. Because they didn't give them a choice. So they're going to kill them anyway. So some say because of that it wasn't shas hashmad. And therefore the halacha was you didn't have to give up your life for everything, only for gimel averus. Or there were 10 Jews around, right? There's the matzah of kiddush Hashem and the goy wanted you to do it lahachis. But stam shas hashmad it wasn't. Others say no. Lamaisa, they made decrees specifically to mimavatl yiddishkeit too, even though they wanted mavatl yidden, but they wanted mavatl yiddishkeit also. So that gave it a shas hashmad, a tremendous difference of halachic what you had to give your life for or not. So, but that's a shayla. I think we'll go into the details of it. But there are many poskim held that didn't have a din of shas hashmad, and therefore, whatever you could do to save your life for anything but gilui arayos shvichus damin avodah zarah, people were allowed to do. Okay, the next
shas hashmad is when the whole situation is shmad, or what if they in general they wanted to, but one particular thing they did in order just because they want to get him not to do the
but the question is why didn't they want? Okay, we'll speak about that in more detail. That's a shayla. Right, shayla is what exactly is called shas hashmad, where they give you a choice and they want to mevatel yiddishkeit but not yidden. Or either they want a vatal yidden, but they also want a vatal yiddishkeit. That's a shot. Okay, the next tshuva is another thing of putting yourself in danger. So we have putting yourself in danger for other people, putting yourself in danger for Torah and Tefillah. Now is another shaila. Putting yourself in danger to fight the Nazis. Nishalti me hanichbad Reb Yitzchak Gold. This person asked him the following shayla. They in Kovna, before they liquidated the ghetto, like we said, the main gzeira was forced slave labor all day. And they did this forced slave labor in the airport. Shom hayu ma'avidim es hamotzim halalu b'perach kedei lanosam b'sivlosam b'nichsas avode yomi shoy aleim l'male. And they worked for the German war effort in the air, the factories that they produced, whatever they were producing for the war effort was in the airport. V'hoyim hayu roim ha'germonim Shamotzim mi'ageto lo yuchlu l'mali es michsas ha'avodah ha'yomish shem kovu b'rishasam. And if the Jews couldn't keep up the daily quota that they were given, ha'isam miyad mishlakachas bohem chamasim keish l'hava v'ayu poshtim al ha'geto b'chamas retzach k'dei litvos yehudim nosofim l'avodah sakfiyah l'man malei es michsas ha'avodah. They constantly captured new people and put them into the workforce. So there was always a danger that the people who weren't yet working would be caught and have to work, and the ones who were working would be killed because they weren't doing the job good enough. The kivin shenitin reshus l'mashkis l'hochel aneget v'kluy ha'geto hayu ha'kalgosim ha'germonim yinach shemom mochkim me'aleihem kol tzura enoshis v'ayu hofkim lios l'chayos teref dorsos shekol magmosin hi'ach litrov teref l'ravo esmon l'dam. Once they had yidden under their heel for forced labor, they didn't stop at that, and they took every opportunity to kill people they wanted to kill just arbitrarily. They both, again, psychologically made them suffer physically with all kinds of beatings or whatever, and with all kinds of psychological torture. Whoever was in the ghetto suffered terribly. There was no end to the decrees that they thought up, new things every day. And there were constantly rumors going around of what the next thing would be, and people were terrified. So that was the matzav in the ghetto. Then the rumor went out that the Germans intended to take a good number of the people in the ghetto and move them to another concentration camp, which meant that they were going to be liquidated. Now they're taking some of the workforce and liquidating it. And because of that rumor, another rumor sprung up. There was another rumor that people were escaping nightly into the forest to join the partisans who were fighting the Germans, Goyim usually, who had bands to fight the Germans and to kill them and to sabotage whatever they could. So the only avenue that the Jews had to fight against the Germans wasn't from inside the ghetto. Inside the ghetto there was no way to mount any kind of revolt or rebellion or whatever. Like we said when we learned about this idea that they went like sheep to the slaughter. So what they could do is to escape, go out into the forest, join bands of partisans, and what are they called? Yeah. And what's it called? And fight the Germans. It was a very big danger to escape the ghetto too and to go into the forest. The ghetto was surrounded with an electrified barbed wire fence. If you touch that fence, you were finished. It's electrified. And they had lookout watchtowers to see if anybody was escaping. And they had machine guns ready to shoot anybody who they saw escaping. And they had lights, searchlights, that even at night they could see who was escaping. So besides the danger of trying to escape from the ghetto, the partisans had a rule, they wouldn't accept anybody into their bands unless they were armed. They came with their own weapons. They wouldn't give out weapons to new recruits. Because there wasn't a great amount of weapons to go around. So if you wanted to join, you had to bring your own weapon. But so anybody who wanted to escape and join the partisans had to bring a weapon with him, which made the danger even greater. First of all, they killed anybody who was outside the ghetto. And anybody they caught with a weapon, they killed also immediately, even if you weren't escaping the ghetto. So to be armed in the ghetto, to be able to escape and to fight the Germans, you had to take two dangers. One, carrying a weapon in the ghetto, and then escaping the ghetto. So you had already a tremendous amount of danger to go out of the ghetto and join the partisans. In addition, there were bands of partisans who hated the Nazis but also hated the Jews. So they wouldn't accept a Jew to join them. Ki gam hema yusolni Yisrael gedolim. L'ra Moshe milchum agirmonim. The Yehudi shenofli dey plogos apertazan kazos shilu malachas b'chayim. So a Jew was killed immediately if he fell into a band of partisans who were also anti-Semites. That added another danger. U'lezos nishalti oz al yedei hanichbad hanal. Therefore the shaila was the following. The shaila was like this. If he stayed in the ghetto, it was pretty clear that it was just a matter of time until the ghetto was going to be liquidated. So in time he was finished. If he tried to escape, it's possible that he's putting himself in a bigger sakana on the short term, but on the long term, maybe we'll get out and survive. So are you allowed to put yourself in danger, more danger on the short term, in hope that in the long term you'll survive? The same shaila is the Gabin operation. People who are terminally ill, okay, they have some kind of condition that if nothing is done, they definitely will die, let's say, in 3 months. Okay, they're 3 months' time. Nothing is definite, but that's a piteva. That's what the doctors give them. He can go through an operation. If the operation is successful, he could live years. But if the operation is not successful, he could die within 10 minutes. So are you allowed to put yourself in a danger where you may be shortening your life drastically, but on the other hand, if you don't do anything, your life anyway is going to be short. You only have chayisha, and you could, if things go good, extend your life. Usually in such a situation, we say that since the person anyway only has chayisha, in other words, he has some kind of disease. So by going to the operation, right, any chanani can make things worse, but it can make things better too, then you may not be mechuyev to have that operation, but you're allowed to have the operation. That's usually what the psak is. On the other hand, if the person says, I don't want the operation, so then he's surely, apiteva, going to die in 3 months. But he doesn't want the operation because it's too painful, or because he doesn't want the chance that he may die in 10 minutes. He likes to at least live out the 3 months. Then he's allowed to not have the operation either. Okay. Mitnei yadua haisa ha'imra, Shoisam aleches begetto, imra ufainis maod, sheke yinateach eskluya ghetto beshein nesim bechufsha. Kalomar shehein nechshavin kemesim, elashekiblu chufsha lefisha. They used to call the, the people in the ghetto dead people on vacation. In other words, basically they were dead. If you stayed in the ghetto, just a matter of time. But at this point, they were on vacation. Right? They had a pass. They were dead or with a pass. So for all practical purposes, they stayed where they were. Their lives were limited. If they tried to escape, they could extend their lives, but they could end it quicker. That was the shaila. Why were these people considered dead people on vacation? Because aside from the actions that the Germans did from time to time to liquidate portions of the ghetto, where they send people into the concentration camps, even when they didn't liquidate portions of the ghetto, the people in the ghetto also were in danger of their life. For any little thing, a little infraction, they'd shoot you dead. A German decided that the Jew didn't give him enough honor, shot him. Didn't need an excuse. There was no law and order. Or if the Jew was caught smuggling potatoes, bread from the workplace into the ghetto, it was also punishable by death. Therefore, remaining in the ghetto was vadei sakana. Now, you vadei, what's it called? We're in a matzah pikuach nefesh. Escaping from the ghetto may have been more intense, but it's still only a suffix. There was a chance you could survive. Or maybe the opposite. Right now, the chances of survival in the ghetto short term were better than the survival short term of trying to escape. Because at the time also there were rumors that if you just did your work, there weren't going to be any more liquidations and the people would survive. So they know what to believe. Right? Okay, so that was the shaila. Okay, that was the shaila, and the Lysa, he says that what's it called? The tshuva was again that there was another aspect also, that if people ran away into the forest, they were abandoning their families. At least if they were home, right? Usually, it wasn't the women and children who were running into the forest; it was the able-bodied fathers, husbands. So at least if they were home, they could somewhat, protect their families. I mean, even though it wasn't too much they could do, but at least they were a symbol of protection. If they ran away from their families, they left their families totally defenseless. So it was another reason why not to do it. So basically the answer here was also, a person basically had to do what in his circumstance he felt was best all around. He was allowed to take the risk if he wanted, but he wasn't mechuyev to run out into the forest for sure. So a person who felt that he could better either survive and be more effective against the Germans, the way of running away, was allowed to do that. And somebody who felt that he just couldn't do it, he didn't want to take the risk, there was nothing wrong with not taking that risk and staying within the ghetto. So basically the tshuva was, whatever you do is good and bad at the same time, so you have to choose what you think fits you better at the time, and the people were allowed to do. He said, "V'achein horesi." Basically, in the end, he said, "She'ein l'rapos esrukom shalom eskon levroach," not to weaken or deflate the hopes of the people who wanted to run to the forest and tell them they can't do it, or that it's not there's no tachlis to it. But Adarabba, Yeshla Odadombala Amtsam, to give them encouragement. Somebody chose to do that, to encourage them and give them chizuk that it was a proper decision. To help them to get weapons, so they'll be able to do it. And also to get the training to be able to be successful and effective. Okay, so that's that was basically this Shiloh. You're about to put yourself in danger to fight the Nazi. Okay, the next tshuvas, which we're not going to go now, but are ones of similar nature, but not so much putting yourself in danger, but different ways of trying to save yourself. We're going to see a tshuva about, are you allowed to impersonate yourself as a goy to be saved? Can you sign that you're a Roman Catholic, or say you're a goy, dress up as a goy? Is that mutter, or is that called avodah zarah? Are you allowed to give your children over to missionaries, to convents, which, or to goyim, in fear that they may be brought up as goyim, that the parents won't survive and they'll be brought up as goyim and baptized? Is that mutter, or is that avodah zarah? Right, better not to save them. Better they should die rather than be brought up as goyim. It's another shaila. So those are, I think, two of the things we'll do next week in Mitzvah.